Homily 12. Lent. Satan tests Jesus. At that time, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tested by the devil. This morning's scriptural duel between Christ and Satan reminded me of David James Duncan's terrific novel, The Brothers K, just the letter K, in the chapter entitled Psalm Wars. Pious mother with foster children to attend Sunday Bible school is confronted at table by her now rebellious oldest son. She says, "Honor your father and your mother." And he retorts, "Unless you hate your mother and father, you cannot be my disciple." And the very amusing duel continues. Now, during a pleasant lunch with an old friend a few years ago, we began discussing the hallucinations we had while on pain-killing narcotics after serious surgery. After his spinal surgery, he was on a striker frame. Lo and behold, the door to his room would open, and these horrific killer cookies, yes, cookies, chocolate chip, oatmeal, Oreos, would make their way toward him. He would scream and scream until the nurse came. True story. My turn. While recovering from being almost killed in a crosswalk by one of Boston College's cream-of-the-crop football players, I used to waken in the middle of the night to the assaults of demons, so terrifying in their appearance that they made the demons of the poet-artist William Blake look like bunny rabbits. I wish that I could draw. However, when in their grasp, I would mockingly taunt the demons, as Muhammad Ali on the ropes did to George Foreman. "Is that all you got, George?" I would pray, "Lord Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus Christ." Those demons did not stand a chance. When a student asked me if God was testing my faith, I said, "No, Satan is testing out his new demons, and they're a sorry lot." Now, why this Christian confidence in the face of the demonic? In the climax to the most hauntingly beautiful scene in the movie, The Agony in the Garden of Mel Gibson's Passion of the Christ, Jesus arises victorious and with his sandaled heel crushes the head of the serpent slithering toward him. That's the source of my confidence. Moses and the Israelites had been tested in the desert, but failed. This morning's gospel focuses on the testing, not temptation, of Jesus in the desert, his first routing of Satan. As tester, the devil is probing what sort of son of God, Messiah, Jesus is and will be. What sort of Christians are we? Unlike the Israelites in the desert who complained about their hunger, testing God that resulted in the manna from heaven, Jesus states that one must live by God's word, not by bread alone. Therefore, Jesus is not allowing his personal needs to determine how he will continue to usher in God's kingdom. Jesus' deepest hunger is to do the will of his heavenly Father. That is his meat and drink. What is our deepest hunger? In challenging Jesus to throw himself down from the temple, the tester seeks to discover if Jesus will try to accomplish his mission the easy way. That is, by being a wonder worker, a magician messiah, who play to the crowds. Are we in any way the religious hypocrites condemned by Jesus in the Ash Wednesday Gospel? In challenging Jesus to worship him in order to be given all the world's kingdoms, The tester is again trying to determine if this Messiah Jesus will take the easy way to free Israel from Roman occupation, rid it of the pseudo-King Herod, and make Israel the superpower to which all the nations of the world will bow. And what the Jews, and perhaps even Satan, falsely thought was the kingdom of God. What do we really worship? As Jesus will say later to his disciple Peter, who also tried to turn him away from his mission to suffer, die, and be raised, Jesus commands the tester, "Get behind me, Satan." What turns us away from being better Christians? Unlike popular views of Jesus as a pious moralizer, be nice to one another, the New Testament portrays him as the one who does battle to the death, the real enemy of God's kingdom, Satan, the commander-in-chief of a united army of demons, the actual ones behind Israel's sin, the pseudo-King Herod, and the Roman occupiers. This morning's gospel underscores that Jesus routs Satan in their first encounter. And later Jesus said, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven." Through his numerous exorcisms, by the finger of God, that is the Holy Spirit, he bound the strong man. He plundered his stronghold. Jesus drove the demons named Legion, a not too subtle reference to Rome, out of the Gerasenine man. As the one behind the killing of the God-man on the cross and Jesus' descent into hell, Satan thought that he had finally won the battle against Jesus. And this is not poetry. But Satan overplayed his hand. Scripture says, "Through death, Jesus destroyed him who had the power of death, that is, the devil." The link between sin, death, and ultimately the demonic. In a TV series which I loved, the Viking King Ragnar and his men failed twice to conquer Paris. To the disgust of his men, Ragnar converts to Christianity under condition that his obsequies and burial be in the cathedral and that his men be allowed to be present at the city gates. And the king, the archbishop agree, and Ragnar is baptized. Now for a great scene. Shortly thereafter, Ragnar dies. He's placed in a coffin. He's brought into the Paris Cathedral. As the coffin is set down, the very much alive and fully armed Ragnar smashes out of the coffin, thrusts his sword into the archbishop's throat, and holds it to the king's throat. The city gates are opened. Paris falls to the Viking victors. Christ plundered Satan's stronghold, and his resurrection is proof of this. The Apostle Paul writes that Jesus disarmed and made a public spectacle of the demons, triumphing over them by the cross, reversing the Roman symbol of ultimate shame. And the Father raised Jesus from the dead to make him the true Lord of heaven, earth, and even hell. Christianity has long seen life as a spiritual warfare between Jesus and the enemy of our human nature. Sooner or later, we too encounter Satan and his minions in a variety of forms. However, because of the Lord Jesus, the battle has been won, but the mopping up goes on. Let us mop up our lives by praying with St. Ignatius, "What have I done for Christ? What am I doing for Christ? What shall I do for Christ?" Get behind me, Satan.